Great to see everyone this morning. My name is Susan Van Riesen, and I'm on the preaching team here at the Vineyard, and it's great to see you. And this right here is a great place to be because I get to see everyone's faces and see who God has brought here together. So I'm grateful for that. This summer, we are in the midst of a series out of the book of Proverbs called Wisdom in Anyone need wisdom in your relationships, by chance? Today, we're going to specifically look at the topic of deception and truth. Let me begin with a question. When are you most tempted to lie or fib? When are you most tempted to lie or fib? I posted this question on the Bastion of All Wisdom Facebook a while ago, and here are some of the answers that I got. One, when I don't want to hurt someone's feelings. Two, when I lack the courage to just give it straight. Three, when it reflects knowledge base or skills, as in, have you read that book? Do you know how to program this? Have you read this verse in the Bible? Four, when I want to look good or admired or respected. Five, when I want to avoid a topic that I don't want to go into. What about you? Have you ever told a lie or fibbed or have been tempted to tell a lie? And why? When are you most tempted to fib or lie? A few years out of college, I bought my first car, and I was so excited about buying my first car. It was a little white Nissan Sentra, and it was cute and small and shiny, and it was mine, and I was so excited. And at that time, I was getting to know a new friend who I would later marry. His name was Alex, and I brought my car. Have I lost my... Hello? I brought my car over to where Alex was, and I showed him my car, and I was so excited. And one thing I knew about my new friend, Alex, is that he and I shared a common thing, which is Alex and I both really love to find a good deal. You know people like that in your life? People who have a great passion for finding a good deal. Something at a good cost. Well, Alex and I shared this value. So I went and showed Alex my new car, and I purchased this car for $12,000. So back then, Nissan Sentra, $12,000. And he asked me right away, how much did you pay for this car? And I said to him, I paid $11,000. You can probably see where this is going. I mean, it was just the most useless, stupid thing. You know, I paid $12,000. There was no one threatening me, oh, you should say $11,000, but that's what I said. And I realized later that I did this because I wanted to manipulate or adjust Alex's impression of me, because I knew that we shared this thing and just this great delight and celebration of buying things for a great deal. And so I lied, and I said, I bought $1,000. And he said, great, let me take it for a spin. I said, great, no big deal. So we moved on. All right, brand new car, really cute Nissan Sentra. Paid $12,000, said I paid $11,000. Convicted that night, came home, convicted before the Lord, realized I just lied to this great person who I'm trying to get to know. I tried to impress him by shaving off $1,000 and telling him how much this car was. Totally stupid. Let it go. I'm trying to move forward, but I realize I can't. I can't move forward because I'm greatly burdened by what I've just done. And this thing is just so unnecessary and stupid. And yet it's just, you know, when you tell a lie and you have this burden on your heart, and it just becomes a heavier and heavier burden, and you just feel like you're walking like this. So I got a time with Alex, and I went to him and sat down and said, hey, I want to let you know I lied to you about how much my car costs. And it was a uncomfortable but very great conversation. I asked Alex if he would forgive me, and he did. And we were able to move forward into having a relationship of trust and integrity and being real with one another. Now, I just want to say that before I came to this, before I decided to come clean about this, it was greatly tempting for me to just let it go, to say, it was just $1,000, no big deal. It's not like Alex is going to go to the Nissan car lot and check up on how much I paid for this car. You know, he doesn't have to know. It's not going to hurt him at all. So just let it go. What's the big deal? It doesn't hurt him to have the wrong number. What is the big deal? What is the big deal about lying? In a quick read through the book of Proverbs, so I'm looking at the book of Proverbs as I prepare to speak to you this morning, and it is so easy to find a verse in the book of Proverbs about lying, about truth, about deception. You could throw a rock at the book of Proverbs and hit a verse on the topic of lying and deception. For example, Proverbs 13:5 says, "The righteous hate falsehood, but the wicked act shamefully and disgracefully." Proverbs 21:6, "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death." Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous weigh its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil." So just on and on. It's just so easy to find a Proverbs. It's just filled with Proverbs on the topic of lying, truth, and deception. Why is this such a major theme in Proverbs? Why does Proverbs talk about truth and deception so much? Well, I thought of three reasons why this is such an important topic to deal with in throughout the scriptures, but especially in Proverbs. The first reason why the scripture talks so strongly about deception is that God is all about truth and trust. God is all about truth and trust. He is truth, and he is absolutely trustworthy. Deuteronomy 32:4 says that God is a faithful God, without deceit, just and upright is he. Jesus also taught that he is the truth. John 14:6, he says, "I am the truth, the way, and the life." And God is all about truth and without deceit, and it is at the very core of his nature. So Proverbs 12:22 says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who are truthful." That word "detests" can be translated as abomination, or something that makes him sick. It's something that's repulsive, just turns his stomach. We break fellowship with God when we lie, because deception is against the very nature of God. Another reason why God hates dishonesty so much is that it destroys other people. Proverbs 15:4 says, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." Our God has a burning, white, hot love for every person that he's created. It's not like God just thinks, "Yeah, this person, he's all right," or "This person, she's pretty good." But God has a burning, white, hot love for every single person that he's created. So how do you think he feels when deception crushes the lives of any one person? I have met so many people whose hearts and lives have been crushed, destroyed by spouses who promise to be faithful and who aren't, by parents who promise to be there but choose not to be, by kids who constantly walk in deception of their parents, by bosses or contractors or business partners who say they would do one thing, but then they do another. Lies break trust. Lies break trust. You can love someone who lies to you, but you cannot over time trust them. And without trust, it's very hard to have a relationship. Trust is the bedrock of relationships, and deception crushes trust. And this is why the scripture says that a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. And God understands this. And this is why we are challenged to live truthfully. Even in the Ten Commandments, there's a prohibition against bearing false witness against your neighbor. Because God knew from the beginning of time that without a clear commitment to honesty, marriages and families would disintegrate, friendships would explode, communities would not work out, churches would split, business dealings would fall apart, and the very fabric of relationships would unravel. And this is why Proverbs exhorts people over and over and over again to flee deception and to speak truth. The third reason why I can think of that Proverbs talks about truth and lies so much is that we have so many opportunities throughout our days to lie or to deceive or twist the truth, don't we? If you think about it, it's just throughout your day, throughout your 24 hours, throughout going to work or going to school or being with your kids, there are so many opportunities to lie. Or you might think of it as fib or to twist the truth. Or to not quite say the right thing. And even if they might seem like harmless half-truths or exaggerations or minimizing of the truth, there's so many opportunities to do that in a given day, aren't there? To lie about why you are or not coming to a certain event. Just, you know, on the Evite thing when you're saying no, to say no because I have a blah blah, when actually you don't. Or to say, oh, there was an accident on the freeway, that's why I'm late. Or to tell a story about someone while not including the whole context or their motivations to make them out like this person is totally stupid or horrible. To control our images of ourselves with slight exaggerations of the truth, like me with my new car. Or to try to manage how other people feel in a given situation by manipulating the situation or not telling the whole truth. I have a friend who is in Christian ministry, and she lives in that ministry through the generous support of churches and individual donors and people who support her and believe in her ministry. So one day, she and a bunch of other people from her organization went to visit a man who is a very generous supporter of her ministry, a really key donor to her organization. And he had a bunch of these people over to his house for coffee. And they were going to meet together and share about the vision of their ministry, etc. And he was really excited to show them his house because he had just finished remodeling it. Actually, he had torn down most of the house, designed the new part of the house by himself, and had his company build it. He had spent millions and millions of dollars on a gorgeous, luxurious new home, which was built primarily on the concept of an ellipse. Now, I just recently talked to someone who's a mathy person, and she told me that an ellipse is a very special kind of oval shape that is it's kind of very pleasing to the eye. So visually, an ellipse is just this great thing. And he decided to build his house on the concept of an ellipse. So every room had oval-shaped walls, and every chair and every table, and all these things in his house was designed off of the concept of an ellipse. And this guy was excited about this. It was just a really interesting, beautiful concept, and he showed them around to the different parts of his house and his pool and his pool table and all these things that were just gorgeous and beautiful to look at. And after he showed them around, he sat down with this group of people and he said, "Well, what do you think of my house?" And they were like, "Amazing, it's beautiful, wow," and as it was. And then he said to them, "Don't you think God is pleased with my house?" My friend didn't know what to say. It was an interesting question and a rather awkward moment. So finally she said, "Yes, I'm sure God loves it." But later that night, she realized that her heart was burdened and her conscience was also greatly disturbed. She realized that in her heart, she had not told the truth, Because she had prioritized pleasing this very important man, this very powerful, generous man, rather than speaking the truth that God had laid upon her heart. And she felt greatly burdened before the Lord. So she called this man's secretary and got another appointment with him and went in to meet with this man and said to him, "You know, I would not be saying this to you except that you asked me directly. And I'm not in charge of how you spend your money, and that is yours to do. And I don't know about the whole process of coming up with this house, and there's so much I don't know about your situation. But you asked me what I thought of your house. You asked me if I thought that God was pleased with your house. And I just have to say that I lied at that time. Because as far as I know of the God that I've read about in the scriptures, and as much as I can see about the needs of this world, I don't know if God is pleased with spending this much money on a house for yourself." And she felt like, "I need to say that because you asked me." So my friend went and spoke the truth as graciously and humbly and courageously as she knew how. And her donor, her supporter, heard her respectfully, and then he never gave to her ministry again. But that day, she left feeling free because she had spoken the truth. And in a big way, she had stepped into the reality that God, that pleasing God was more important to her than pleasing any other person, no matter how significant to her they might be. When we are people who speak the truth, we are people who are free. Amen? When we are people who speak the truth, we are people who are free. And I am here to remind you this morning that deception, while it can feel helpful at the moment, will never give you freedom. Deception, while it can feel helpful in a fleeting moment, will never give us freedom. It will never give us life. Only truth does. Only walking in the ways of truth will give us a free and light and burden-free life. Now, I just wonder, having said that, how, Lord, how can I walk in the ways of truth-telling and not give in to the temptation of deception? How? Because deception is all around us. And we are faced with a temptation to lie every day or to twist the truth or not be completely honest. Given the fact that those things are true, how can we live a life of truth? Well, first of all, I just want to say that this, our ability to speak truth, is not based on our own strength. It is not based on our own integrity. It is not rooted in the fact that you're such a good person. And you're just naturally truthful all the time. It is based on who God is. Our ability to speak truth is based on who God is and not who we are. We are free from having to please others all the time because God is the one who provides a good and happy future for us. God is the one who provides a good and happy future for us. Not powerful people, not financial contributors, not our parents, not your spouse, not your girlfriend, not your professor, not your boss, but God is the one who will provide for you and provide a good and happy future for you. My friend discovered this, and it just planted a flag for this when she went and spoke truth to her supporter, in really saying to herself and to God, "God is the one who will provide for me." And God did. That year, even when this supporter stopped supporting her, God totally provided for her. It is all about who God is in your life. Secondly, we are free not to spend our lives managing our image because God loves us as we are. Even if it might not be true that I am the best person at getting a good deal when I buy a car, God still loves me. And anyone who wants to love me needs to walk in that reality. That whether I'm great at getting a good deal, whether I make a lot of money, whether I'm perfectly in shape, whether I'm blah, 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 all these things that we feel like we're supposed to be, whether we're that or not, God still loves me. And for that reason, I can walk in the truth. I don't have to lie to you about how much money I make. I don't have to lie to you about what kind of parent I am. I don't have to... Wow, today is a logistical challenge day. But I'm going to be really honest with you about that. Thank you, helper. We can walk in the truth of the messiness of who we are, and we don't have to cover that up. We don't have to lie about that, because God loves us for who we are. And we don't have to manipulate reality to create this image of something that people might love, because God loves us for who we are. At home, at church, at work, at school, you ought to be loved for who you are. And so you have the freedom to not manipulate reality, to create a false image of who you are. Thirdly, we are free to make mistakes and face consequences because God loves us and He will help us in whatever situation we're in. I think it is very tempting to tell a lie and walk in that lie because we are afraid to face consequences. I was afraid to face the consequences of going up to Alex back then and saying, I shaved off $1,000 when I told you how much I paid for my car. Because I would face the consequence of feeling stupid, of Alex maybe rejecting me, saying, what's wrong with you? All these things in my mind. There were consequences to pay in choosing to walk in truth and not deception. But you know what? The thing is, God helps you to face consequences. God is your great help. God will help you. And God was with my friend when she went to this big donor saying, I, in my conscience, need to speak this to you. Whenever we do what is good and right and what God has put on our hearts and what God is obeying, what God is commanding in the scriptures, God is with us and will enable us to face whatever consequences this world or other people or situations will give. You know, I experienced this a few weeks ago. I was with my kids in my car. I was in a hurry. I was backing up my car and boop, hit a car on the other side of the street. So I backed into a car on my very own street, backing up on my very own driveway. And I turned around and saw that that car was, yes, a Mercedes-Benz. A lovely, shiny Mercedes-Benz. So I walk outside, take a look at the scratch that it made. It wasn't a huge scratch. And, you know, of course, there's like no one around. So my children wonder out loud, do we need to say something or can we just move on to swimming lessons? And for a split second, I have to say that I was tempted because there was no one around. And I wouldn't have to leave a note. Nobody was in the car. But I was convicted that I need to live in the truth and face the consequences. So I put a note on the car, and I eventually found out that the car belongs to my next-door neighbor. So, well, God used that experience to bring me closer to my next-door neighbor than I have in the last 5 years that I've lived next to her. And for various reasons, we haven't actually talked much. Though we've lived next to each other for 5 years, but this and some other conversations around this have actually deepened our relationship. And she said to me, Susan, you know what? I like you. You don't have to pay. And of course, I had to do the Asian fight to pay thing where I was like, no, no, I must pay you money. And she's like, no, no, I like you. Don't pay. And, you know, we did that dance. And in the end, she was like, really, don't pay. I like you. And we're just going to let it be. Now, your situation may have consequences that you have to pay, or it may work out nicely like it did for me. But my point here is, it is always better to face the consequences than to walk with your soul heavy laden with deception. It is always better to walk forward and face consequences than to have your soul heavy laden with deception. And to walk in a path of lying so that we can avoid consequences. And if we are honest and face consequences, God will help us. God will help us because he loves to redeem bad situations. Our God is gracious and full of mercy. God is a provider. Our God is a God of forgiveness. Our God gives courage to live rightly and to not live in a cloak of deception. Because of who God is, we are free to live in truth. Because of God. You know, so often deception is based on fear. Fear of the future, fear of being rejected, fear of anger on the part of other people, fear of being abandoned, fear of not having enough. Deception is so often based on fear. But if we really embrace who God is, we don't have to be afraid. Because God is on your side. God has your back. He will not abandon you. God will help you to face consequences. He loves you no matter what. And if we are rooted in the reality of God, we are free. Free to live in truth. We are free to say things like, we need to talk about our friendship. Things are not right with us. We are free to say things like, I need to talk to you about some of the dynamics of how we do business or how we work things in our organization. We are free to say things like, you know, I said that I would do this, but it wasn't out of conviction. It was out of trying to please you. We are free to say things like, I've been pretending that I'm a person of great generosity, but that is not the reality that is reflected in my checkbook. We are free to say things like, I was not truthful when I said that thing to you, and I want to come clean. I want to come clean. You know, I want to be a church where people are saying things like that to each other. Let's not pretend that we are a church of people who never lie. Let's not pretend that we are a church of people who only ever speak full and complete truth, because that's probably not the case. I am guessing that in the midst of this group of people gathered here today, that there are some non-truths that are out there, maybe even to each other. But I want so desperately to be a church where we have the freedom to go up to each other and say, you know, I said this thing to you, but it wasn't totally true. I was deceiving you. And so I want to come clean about that. I just recently heard about someone who did that, and then the person that they confessed to said, you know, actually, this reminds me of something that I actually was not totally clear about with you, so I'd like to come clean about that. And then they thought of something else, and what a great thing to be a community where our repentance is reminding each other to be clean, to be true, to be honest, to be forthright. I want to be a church of people like that because of God. Because of God's graciousness, his forgiveness, his kindness, his being on your side, his having your back, we can be like that. We can walk in truth. I'm aware that this morning that there are some people here who have given themselves over to some sort of deception. You may be someone who has told a lie and you've kind of walked in that and you are greatly burdened by that. And maybe even when you saw the topic on the bulletin or when I started talking, you realized, oh, I have this thing that bothers my conscience, but I spend a lot of time pushing it down. I have a lie on my heart in my life. And I just want to say, God is meeting you today. God is giving you good news because I'm here to say he's on your side. He's reaching out to you and he's saying, come, be in my presence. I will help you to come clean about that. Is there some way that you need to repent of deception? That's the biblical word for coming clean. Repent of deception. And it might be some seemingly little thing, or it might be a big deception that you've walked in for so long you can't even imagine what it would be like to not be in that. But I just again say to you, God is reaching out to you and saying, I love you. Come to me. Come clean. There are others of us who have been affected by the deceit of others. And God is reaching out to you too. He wants to heal you from the hurt and pain and destruction of lies. And this will involve forgiving the person who lied to you. And you may need help and support in that. But if there's a way that you've been walking under a burden of the hurt and pain of having been lied to, then God wants you to know you don't have to carry that alone. God is here to reach out to you and to support you and heal you from the burden of that. Is there something that is on your heart today because of a lie that you've been told or a deception that has been given to you by someone else? Either way, I want to encourage us as a community to open our hearts to God. Again, Proverbs 15:4 says, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." Deception crushes the spirit. It is burdensome and deflating and a heavy weight to carry around. But truth brings life. Truth brings life. Like a strong tree, truth brings stability, trustworthiness, solidity, growth, shelter, energy, life. Truth brings life. And here where we live in the Silicon Valley, where it is so tempting to hide behind images or to bow down to the pressure of money and deception, where we are so busy that we might not follow up on something that hasn't been completely true, this is a moment this morning where the Holy Spirit is reaching out to you to say, let more truth be in your life, and I will give you so much more blessing than you could imagine. Would you hold your hands out before God just as a sign of a prayer, and let me pray. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just want to thank you for being the God of truth. And Lord, there are all sorts of complexities about truth and what we say and the things that come out of our mouths. But I just thank you, Lord, for the gift of the conscience. And if there are any person here who feels like, I know there's something that's, I'm not sure exactly how to think about it, but it's, I know I've said something that's not completely true, or I've been walking in some sort of deception, I just pray your grace and mercy upon us now, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and just minister to us. Also, Lord, if there are people here who've just been negatively affected by lies and deception, I just pray in Jesus' name you would bring a strengthening to that person so that we can be healed. And Lord, I just pray for our community that you would give us humility, that you would give us little pathways to say to one another, I wasn't totally honest with you. And to know that there isn't the crushing of judgment to there, but there's the joy of the help of your Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, let your grace be not theoretical, but real in that way. Lord Jesus, I just want to say that I love you so much. And I love that you are light and truth. And it really means something. So bless the soaking in of your word today as we worship you and come before you, O God of all truth and light. We look upon you and we are amazed by who you are, Lord. And we recognize that we are not like you, and yet we still come to you in a heart of worship. Let us stay in a posture of worship and prayer and humble confession as we enter into musical worship now.